live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 318 here on a Wednesday night. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We've got NFL action, college football action, and America's favorite pastime, the MLB postseason. All that going on right now. And if that's not enough, we've got NBA training camp starting up. So the Pacers, local team here, Pacers getting ready to go into action. So we've got all that and more. We've got our college pick'em we have to talk a little bit about tonight. We've got Tanner calling in as usual at his 7:45 call time. So we'll get him and more. We'll have Jonathan call in here momentarily, and then we will be ready to go. Couple news and notes. Here we go. We got him right here real quick. JB, how are you, sir?
Doing all right, man. Where are we at in the show at, man? I know we just fresh opening.
Yep. Just gave a little rundown, so ready to dive on in. First, I think, John, we need to dive right into a couple things. A couple people we lost this past week, Dikembe Mutombo and also Pete Rose, two legends that we have lost, both passed away this past week.
Yeah, just to kind of touch on that, man. I haven't really delved into like the statistics. Everybody knows Pete Rose is a great player, whether he was in a red uniform or a Phillies uniform. Everybody knows this, right? Everybody knows the controversy that kind of surrounds his name as far as him not having a lifetime ban as it pertains to the Hall of Fame as well, man. But as a kid, and I kind of caught the tail end of Pete Rose, you know what I'm saying, as a player, man. But as a kid, those are the cards you wanted, the baseball cards that you wanted. You wanted Pete Rose because, you know what I'm saying, he statistically, you know what I'm saying, filled every box, right? So, the controversy, like I said, the controversy with him not being in the Hall of Fame, but he's a Hall of Famer, without a doubt, you know what I'm saying? We talked about it how many years ago on this show, you know what I'm saying? People used to call in and ask us, of course, Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. I just can't get over it, you know what I'm saying? The lifetime ban situation. And when you shift to Dikembe Mutombo, you know what I'm saying, just one of the all-time greats, did ever play basketball, played the center position. You walk away when you think about what I do anyway, with, nothing but great memories of Dikembe Mutombo, even though this didn't necessarily win a championship. But he played high-level state basketball. You remember them being the 8th seed in Denver and him, the emotion just kind of pouring over him. As they defeated, you know what I'm saying, the playoff. They beat Seattle Supersonics that year. And Dikembe just kind of fell to the ground like they won a championship, you know what I'm saying? But it was a seven-game series, and like, it was grueling. It might have been five games. I can't remember. Recall. But they won, you know what I'm saying? It was the first time AB won. So just, you know what I'm saying? And then, like I said, him coming to this country, man, I know sometimes, you know, in this day and age, man, we have such a negative connotation as it comes to immigration, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, Dikembe Mutombo came over here the right way, you know what I'm saying, started, you know what I'm saying, at Georgetown, became, a cemented legend as one of the Georgetown big men, you know what I'm saying, following the steps of, you know what I'm saying, Ewing, and, you know what I'm saying, he was there with Alonzo. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying, following those steps of, you know what I'm saying, the Georgetown big man. But, like, no, man, he turned, you know what I'm saying, he made something of himself, you know what I'm saying, as an immigrant coming to this country. And, you know, everybody don't become a professional basketball player, Brandon, you know what I'm saying. So, sad to see Dikembe Mutombo go. I know I'm kind of glazing over some of his other career stops and past, man. He played with the Sixers a couple seasons, man. Got to the finals there with them, I do believe. He played with the Atlanta Hawks. I do believe he became an all-star with the Hawks, man. Yes. And defensive player of the year with the Hawks as well, man. So, like, man, it has been a great outpouring for both of them. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen on my timeline not anybody, you know what I'm saying, that played in the 90s or the late 80s that had something – quality and nice, to say about Dikembe or a picture to share, something from their archive. And just from the professional standpoint, from for Pete Rose, man, a lot of the writers now come out, oh, yeah, we knew he was Hall, blah, 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 Hall of Famer, but, like, now you find out why he's not and, like, how all that. It's a shame, but I'm pretty sure, they'll do something ceremoniously and put him in. But, like, nah, man, two greats gone, but definitely not forgotten.
Yeah, and the Pete Rose thing, I mean, he served his time now. Like, he was banned for baseball in the Hall of Fame for life. Well, his life's over now, so pretty sure he can go in.
Right.
And really, it's more or less just an archive history books type of thing is all it is, really, to be honest. And there's a lot of dumb shit that the baseball writers do when it comes to those type of things. I mean, this country, for instance, gives people a lot of second chances. Murderer, 15 years, can serve time, come back out, and, rehabilitate his life.
Right.
Ray Lewis, scumbag, just sit there, kill two guys and then come back and then, snitch on two others in the courtroom, and then he gets no jail time because he snitched. So, and then he ends up being a Super Bowl champion and all that. So, I mean, it can happen. It's weird that it happens for other people, but does not happen to Pete Rose. So, interesting on that. John, let's dive right into, let's go to the NFL. Week number four. I don't know why I had week two recap.
Yep.
Week number four, first game on the books, we had, John, Colts Steelers. Colts win 27-24 over the Steelers. Colts, man, they jumped out at this game, jumped out quick. No huddle offense, deep passing. Kind of, smacked, I think of it like a boxing fight. And they came out and punched the Steelers right in the mouth. And before the Steelers knew what happened, they were dazed and tried to come out of the corner. And it's already 17-0. And that's hard to come back from in the NFL. But Colts, given to their game plan, they start hanging on there in the second half. Pittsburgh started making a run, three straight touchdowns. Justin Fields, two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. But the Colts hanging on, couple key feelers there. For the Steelers, the what hurt them, John, I was there in attendance. What hurt? The George Pickens fumble as you're going to draw, going down into the inside the red zone. You had the Justin Fields sack fumble when that took you out of field goal range. Another one where Tomlin decided to punt from the 45 instead of take Boswell in there, who's a very accurate kicker. And then the last one would be the 4th-and-1 that Zaire Franklin stopped Justin Fields on. All those, T.J. Watt was double teamed and held. A lot of missed holding calls. I'm going to say it now. Not sour grapes, but he was definitely held. I'll show you the videos if you want to see them. That there was no calls on, but Colts win. They get their get a nice win for them as they getting ready to go into Jacksonville. Your thoughts on Colts Steelers? And then another thing, Anthony Richardson, the man gets hurt, goes out for two plays. Joe Flacco comes in, and then Richardson goes right back in and gets hurt again. That's dumbass Colts management to me. I'm thinking.
Uh-oh. Well, man, I want to go back. So that was the perfect version of the Colts. I think that's what they want to do. They want to play fast. They want to play, with the lead up, and somebody looking in their dust. Like, how can you catch up with us? What I kind of take away from it, you mentioned Watt kind of being double teamed, whatnot. They kept Anthony Richardson, for the most part, clean and upright, except for, him stepping out the game, right? But, in the first half, they protected real well, right? So the concerning part is that Brandon, like when you mentioned with the coach and having with your coach and Anthony Richardson, like he said he was clear to go in, man. And I know, so you have to, as a coach, right, you have to understand that you got to protect your player, your star player, and that's what he is, kind of from himself, and understanding that, and so if he is going to go back in, like, what kind of play are you running, right? So I can't necessarily say it's a head-scratching thing because it is football, and you have to get it, And he has to get out there, and we got to get reps. And, you know what I'm saying, the more he ain't out there is a negative factor for this team going forward, whether they win this game or not. And I know, you know what I'm saying, the accuracy still – it ain't still fixed just yet, y'all. You know what I mean? But, you know, but that's the best version. But think about it, though, Brandon. Like, man, he to sidebar away from this game, because I thought Justin Fields played, except for the fumble, I thought Justin Fields played a really good game. But the issue with them, with the Steelers, is they can't play behind, from behind ever. So with anybody, they can, you know what I'm saying, like you said, a two-score game down for them, it's like that's a hard comeback for them. Some teams can. I don't think the Steelers are one of them. But you got to think about it, though, Brandon. Away from this, man, like, we don't really have a whole – remember we used to have four games preseason? You know what I'm saying? Those things would have kind of helped out some of these teams. They still got a little bit of rust around them. You know what I mean? So – and I know that, you know, the NFL doesn't want to lose players to, like, preseason – the star players to preseason injuries or anything like that. But I think that's what's needed with some of these, you know what I'm saying, quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? With the exception of, like, our guy down in – Jaden Daniels down in – with the Guardians. You know what I'm saying? With the Commanders, right? He's just ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Show him the playoffs right now. But like, nah, man, I thought it was a victory that the Colts needed. You know what I'm saying? As they approach going into this weekend playing Jacksonville, who's 0-4, who unfortunately is desperate for a win, who unfortunately for the Colts also they haven't beaten since how long? Maybe 2016, something crazy like that, right? But like, nah, man. So. Good victory for the Colts. They found a way to win. Still got some question marks though, Brandon. And then with that, still got some question marks on special teams, man. You know what I'm saying? The kicker. You know what I'm saying? He's got the heebie-jeebies or something, man. But other than that, man, like I said, you take the victory and you build off of that.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, mild high ankle sprain. They think he'll be good to go. Anthony Richardson looks like a short-term injury, hip pointer and an abdominal strain. He was limited in practice today, didn't really do too much. Joe Flacco came in, had a serviceable game against Pittsburgh. I think if they had another quarter or so, I think they were real starting to pick up on the Colts, because the Colts kind of stalled there in the second half. I think they kind of opened it up for Justin Fields to kind of open up and you know, let loose and do what you can do. I should have known we were in trouble, John, when before the game in the tunnel, they show the TV screen and Najee's giving the double bird to the fans in the stadium. When Najee's giving double bird, I should have known that was trouble to begin with there.
You're number one. You're number one twice.
Yeah, exactly. So, for the Steelers, Russell Wilson's practice reps increased this week, but Fields will still start this week against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh. So Fields versus Dak Sunday night. Steelers-Cowboys, an old-school rivalry there. Indianapolis is going to go to Jacksonville, where it's been a house of horrors, and they haven't won in 11 years, John. 11 years since the Colts have won in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They've lost 10 straight. And they are underdogs. In the Vegas sports bets, they are underdogs to the 0-4 Jaguars, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, they are between the rock and the hard place in Jacksonville, man. And the coach, you know what I'm saying, DeBrenner, those decisions are going to come down on the coach. It's going to come down on the quarterback. Guess what? You get a quarterback a sizable raise. You can't fire him. So, Jacksonville probably had aspirations of moving the needle. You know what I'm saying? Especially with the Texans kind of, you know what I'm saying, just turning their whole fortunes around with C.J. Stroud in 1 year. And here you have the season quarterback. I get it. The Urban Meyer fiasco, you can't use it as no excuse no more. You know what I'm saying? So they are desperate for a win, man. So I can see why Vegas would kind of favor them.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other news kind of before we go around the league. Davante Adams has requested a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders. The Jets, Cowboys, and Steelers are some of the names mentioned who could be going after Davante Adams. His time in Oakland or Vegas is basically done. He's going to be out the next 1 or 2 weeks with an injury. I find that very convenient. And it would not shock me, John, if he ends up either a Saint to re-be up with his buddy Carr. Who ended up getting traded? He was pissed off there, or he ends up being a New York Jet with old Aaron Rodgers again. I think those two have are more of the favorable destinations for a Davante Adams. I would love for it to be Pittsburgh because we need a true number two or a true number one wide receiver besides Pickens can go to two, but I don't. That's a pipe dream right there. But I think it'd be either the Saints or it will be the Jets. Your thoughts on Devontae requesting?
Plus, I don't know if Devontae really fit with what Pittsburgh is trying to do right now. I mean, they could help. I mean, it would help. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, is he going to sulk after six games? You know what I'm saying? If things don't necessarily go as you know what I mean? I don't know if he makes his way to Pittsburgh. I don't see Dallas either. You know what I'm saying? They kind of turned some of their fortunes around with that win that they had. You know what I'm saying? Albeit nobody believed in it because, you know what I'm saying, because of the opponent. But again, they kind of, you know, so Jerry Jones is talking about we only have so much money. I'm like, wow, damn, Jerry, when did you start penny pinching? But so the Jets maybe. I don't know what that draft capital looks like. That remember in a return, you know. But I can see the Jets or the Saints for sure.
Okay. Some news around the league, John. Cowboys won 20-15 over the Giants on Thursday. Bengals got their first win over the Panthers this past week. Bears 24-18 winners over the Rams. Vikings improved to 4-0. Packers were making a late charge, scored 22 in the fourth quarter. Vikings win 31-29. Texans continue to roll. Man, I think the surprise, a couple surprisers for me, Broncos beat the Jets 10-9.
Yeah, it was a real ugly game it's an ugly game for the Broncos because our guy Bo Nix is on a learning curve. This is rookie season, right? So offensively, they kind of struggle. What I was surprised at, when I tapped into that game, man, was that Aaron Rodgers just didn't have it. The defense is still pretty rock solid. You know what I'm saying? The coach, and Aaron Rodgers ain't on the same page, man. Not at all.
No.
And right. And this is not, you know what I'm saying, this is a different scenario. Like, you can't fire the coach, you know what I'm saying, that. But you can't fire the coach because he's failed with how many quarterbacks now? And, like, you know what I'm saying, you can't have our guy, you can't have Sam Darnold out here lighting it up when at one point you had Sam Darnold in your organization. You had Sam Darnold in your locker room. You know what I'm saying? You should have had, you know what I mean? So I don't think what's the kid? Is it Sala? I know I'm jacking up his name. I don't know if Shelly know. I know we're still a couple games in. I know they're coming off of this. It looked bad, bro. 9 points. Yeah, they were thinking plug and play MVP Aaron Rodgers, and it's not Aaron Rodgers, and the coach ain't on the same page. So, like, I don't know. They got it could be worse. You could be New England if you're the Jets. You could be the New England Patriots, right? But I don't foresee no, you know what I'm saying? I mean, will they win a couple of more games? Sure, but I don't foresee no deep playoff run for the Jets at all.
Are you concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles? They got stomped at Tampa, which they got beat by Tampa last year in the playoffs. But are you concerned with the way the Eagles have started out?
You got to be. Same thing, man. Jalen Hurts and the coach, they ain't on the same page. And it's bugged. So, like, Brandon, I mean, you know, we kind of want to see Jalen Hurts mixing it up, right? Yeah, I mean, I get it, man. We don't want to keep on putting these quarterbacks and running, you know what I'm saying, running plays and whatnot, because that kind of, you know what I'm saying, shortens their career potentially. But, you know what I'm saying, they had Jalen Hurts just flinging it like he was Peyton.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying Jalen ain't no good. You know, I'm not saying Jalen can't fling it, but, like, man, I just thought it's just weird. They're not on the same page. If you thought that just because the Philadelphia Eagles at one point flirted with a Super Bowl or it was in the Super Bowl at some point in the last two seasons or whatnot, you think that all they need to do is just, you know what I'm saying, do this right with the defense or get this right with the – nah, man, the coach, right, who's from the coach family – he's from the coach family tree, right? The coach and the quarterback. And, like, man, I kind of even go back to the comments he said about Saquon. They were, like, you know what I'm saying, when Saquon, after the it wasn't a fumble, but he passed him the ball, and it was right into his hands, like hands of stones, Saquon Barkley. I don't know, man. I don't think everybody is happy in Philadelphia with one another, man. So that, you know, that story remains to be seen. They still got enough talent to turn the thing around, but you have to be highly concerned. You have to be highly concerned about what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles.
How impressed are you on the flip side? How impressed are you with the NFC East leading Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels?
Just because our man Jaden Daniels, man, you got to tip your cap to. I said last week, man, I said something wrong. I said Herman Moore, Herman Edwards. Herman Edwards had Jaden Daniels out of Arizona State. Unfortunately, that's kind of only quarterback that he had. It's funny, if you look up somewhere on the web, you can see after he transferred Arizona State, all those guys had said they was like, we didn't want him no way. And you know what I'm saying? Here he went to LSU, and they didn't win the national championship, but he goes to LSU and wins the Heisman, and now he's lauded as, you know, get to the NFL, he's lauded as that next deal. Very impressive from Jaden Daniels. Seems very poised. Whether you put him in the pocket or whether you put him in a little bit of a run action. I don't think Sam Howell still backing up. I don't think we'll see Sam Howell, you know what I'm saying, ever again unless Jaden Daniels gets hurt, you know what I'm saying, anything like that. But, like, no, man, he's got the Commanders going in the right direction.
Browns, just I personally think the Deshaun Watson experience is over. You got to get rid of him. That's a hell of a contract, but it's not working. It's not working.
Nah. That's the best. I don't want to go further into it, man.
No Diddy.
There's no Diddy. There's a lot of moving parts involved in that particular conversation. But, yeah, it's not working. What they want, and he's not even the same quarterback no more. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know if they cut him. Because that's a lot to eat off from the salary cap and from a business standpoint, and you still have years left to pay on it or whatnot. But a benching that could happen.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't keep Flacco, right? I mean, at least that'd be.
Well, because he's 100.
I mean, he came in, he's serviceable the other night. So. Flacco's old team, the Ravens, 35-10, just. Straight ass whipping woodshed to the Buffalo Bills.
Surprising, man. That was surprising. I thought we'd get a little bit more push out of the Bills, but that was surprising.
Yeah,
Ravens is back in, but that's why you know what I'm saying. I mean, Pittsburgh got games up on everybody. Will they slide a couple more games and little? You kind of said last week you think the Ravens. You know, they started out bad, and everything kind of evened out. But yeah, man, that's kind of looked like where they're heading towards.
Dolphins, John. I think as each game passes, I think they're going to be reaching out to Pittsburgh regarding Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson's PR team has not already reached out to get the word out there that he wants to be traded,
I don't know. That coach, I don't know if he got it, man. He ain't Sean McVay.
Oh.
He ain't like, man, you would have a different layer. Like, why aren't your backup quarterback, like, they look like they didn't go to practice. You know what I'm saying?
I've never seen a team mail it in more than this team has this early.
Yeah. It looks like, you know what I'm saying, they'll be, you know, I mean, listen, Tua got hurt, and that was unforeseen. But you can't. A playoff team and definitely a championship team is a little bit deeply. It should be a little bit more deeply layered. That if you lose your starting quarterback, that you can't win games or even score points. They look like you can't be Brandon. You can't be a team that scored how many points last year? 70.
Right.
You scored 70 last year. I get a big cog of your offense. I'm saying a big cog of your offense not out there, but like nah. So like something else is the problem.
Lions win 42-29 over the Seahawks. Pretty high scoring game between these two, but Lions are 3-1 now. Don't look now,
man. And they had a couple of defensive guys out, but still, I do believe how many fumbles? I think they had. No, excuse me. They had 3 sacks and a couple of interceptions. I do believe, man. But you got a great game out of Goff. did he not miss a pass receiver? I don't think a throw. He was like 18 for 18. Tom Crane and still didn't have like 100% QB or QB, you know, QB rating or whatever. But, no, man, great game out of Jared Goff. I know a lot of people are just automatically, even still, man, a couple of years removed, they just automatically dismiss him from the Rams. And like, no, he's having a resurgent career, man. Where, you know what I'm saying, we still tracking for him. You know, people still, ah, man, I never thought he was, you know what I'm saying, complete 18 out of 18 for an entire game. So, like, no, man, the Detroit Lions had one little slip-up, man, but looks like, you know what I'm saying, they ready to dominate that North Division.
Before we go out of the NFL, John, I do want to give a little Mike Tomlin story. I kind of talked to you a little bit on Saturday. I had the privilege to do a escort at our facility with Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney to their guest rooms. One of the coolest experiences I've had of my life getting to talk with Coach Tomlin. Was really not sure what to expect, if I was going to get a cranky mic or, you know, you've seen him where he's kind of gone off on whatever. But I will say he was 100% respectful, very, very cool, dabbed me up. We had some good conversation about the city of Indianapolis. We talked about the Circle City Classic that was currently going on that Saturday as well. We just kind of talked to BY, asked me about my fandom with Pittsburgh, how long it's been, where it all started and everything. And then we were talking about food places in the city. His favorite, John, is Steak and Shake. He's a big Steak and Shake guy, so he was going to get some Steak and Shake that night. But very, very cool getting to meet him and also the Steelers owner, Art Rooney. Just two things on my bucket list that were awesome. And I just won't forget. I had plenty of time to talk with both of them going up to their rooms. And the cool thing was, it was just a couple of us walking. So it was me and Coach for a good 3, 4, or 5 minutes. And then when we got on one of the elevators, Omar Khan, the Steelers GM, was with us. And then as well as Najee, which is a big freaking dude. Najee, huge dude in person. I couldn't believe how big he was, but very, very cool moment, and I just thought that I would share that moment. That was awesome for me as a Steeler fan too.
That's cool, man. I remember in the download you were telling me I guess he asked you like where you went to school at, where you college at. You told him Ball State, and he automatically knew with Ball State got run going to score up on him this past weekend. Y'all, sorry, James Madison blew him out, and like he said, y'all, he said, oh, bad. He said, what did he say? Bad day for the Cardinals.
Bad day for the Cardinals. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bad day for the Cardinals. So
yeah, Mike Tomlin is definitely tuning in to the heartbeat of football, not just like I said, not just NFL, but like, nah, man, yeah, that's a cool little spot for you, bro.
Yeah, so I was very very cool to do that, and you know, who just an opportunity to do that was pretty cool. So, John, I want to kind of go into college football. We have Tanner coming on in about 15 minutes, but I want to dive into some things that have came out. Two things. Number one, there is a potential, John, for a group of executives and administrators have proposed streamlining college football into a, quote, super league called, and John's going to hate the name and I hate the name, College Student Football League, the CSFL. Details have been in the works for months, John. They were just unveiled yesterday. The plan would reorganize. We would include the reorganization of 136 football subdivision, so 136 FBS schools, into two conferences. The top 72 programs in the country would compete in the Power 12 conference, which would then be made up of 12 six-team divisions based on geography. Names based on those regions would be the East, Mideast, Great Lakes, Midwest, Carolinas, Mid-South, Southeast, South, Plains, Texas, Southwest, and West. The remaining 64 teams, most of them would be in the current group of five, would compete in a group of eight conference. Divisions that would include East, Mideast, Midwest, Atlantic, Southeast, South Central, and West. According to the release, John, some of those top teams in the group of eight would be eligible for promotion to the Power 12 conference the following season, but there would be no regulation of schools from the Power 12 to the group of eight, kind of like you have with soccer overseas. In the Premier
League. Said it. You said, hey, man. That's, hey, man, I'm about to sound like jQuery, bro. That's soccer. Hey, man, they kind of do soccer shit. Sorry, Brandon, I'm getting mad. They kind of, because they're trying to reach it, they're trying to branch it out to more international people, so that because international people don't understand the freaking Big Ten, international people don't understand the SEC, they don't understand the precedence that people like me and you care about, fandom. You know what I'm saying? But I'm getting ready to tell you, y'all, that when California flew all the way over to Florida State last week and didn't put up another freaking 9 points, I guarantee you they had a strong talk with the athletic director. You mean to tell me we chartered a flight to Florida? You know what I'm saying? So, like, and that's just one of the games, man, that don't make no damn sense. You know what I mean? Or a conference for them to be in that particular conference, man. So, fandom, and you also have to, you know what I'm saying, I get it, trying to break, that drives me crazy, trying to make it to a bigger audience, man. If it's perfect and it's making $1 trillion, man, like, why are you making, trying to make the 20 trillion? That's just greed. You know what I mean? But, like, the one, I can't remember, but kids do it all the time. I don't want to go to that school because my family, even though we live in a rocket world where airline prices and all that, you know what I'm saying, is less value, you know what I'm saying, don't cost that much anymore. Man, my folks just want to drive down, you know what I'm saying, to Bloomington and watch me play basketball. That's it. Or West Lafayette, you know what I'm saying, something drivable. I can't drive all the way to, you know what I'm saying, California to watch you play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
let me give you a little bit of the layout, how it would look out right now. The Power 12 regular season would be 13 games over 15 weeks, 5 division games, 8 non-division games. Prior season's top 36 schools would earn a 7th home game. So you either be 6 home games or 7 home games, 6 away games. Preference how they would do it, number 1 would be geographic proximity. 2 would be historical rivalries, 3 in-state rivalries, and 4, 100-year look-back frequency of a matchup. So let me give you some of these, how these conferences would break out. They've kind of put out in their plan. In the East, John, it would be Boston College, Maryland, Navy, Notre Dame, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. The Mideast, Cincinnati, okay. Penn State, Pittsburgh, Rutgers, Syracuse, West Virginia. The Great Lakes would be Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Purdue. The Midwest would be Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. Your thoughts early on those?
Like, all sounds sweet and gravy. There ain't no money games on some of those programs.
You'd only have 5 division games. And then your other 8 games would be non-division. So you could play everybody outside your little division.
Right. But you're telling me the Cincinnati's of the world, the Marshalls of the world, they on some other slight division? No, man.
Well, Marshall would not be in the top 70, 72 schools, according to this. They would have to play into it.
Right. They had to play into it.
But I don't know how you would do that because – It would go up because nobody would ever be relegated, right? So that top 72 then just increases, what, to 80? And then we get right back to the amount where we're at now.
Right, because every other year you're going to have somebody that's a little bit better than than whoever's in the Power 5. It happens. It's happening right now.
Let me give you your Mid-South. Mid-South would be Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, Louisville, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Your Southeast would be Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Miami Hurricanes, and UCF. I understand what they're doing here, and I'm not 100% against it. I will tell you, I'm not 100% against this. What I am against, though, is figuring out, okay, if you're going to – the people that do well, you're going to say, hey, guess what? You can be up to promotion. You'd be some of the top teams in the Group A would be eligible for promotion in the Power 12 Conference the following season. But there would be no relegation schools to the Power 12. Okay, you have the Power 12. So you're going to have uneven divisions then where you're going to go from the 172 schools right back in what? You could be 12 years from now, you'd be right back into the damn 136 subdivision that we currently have right now. It's just, there has to be some relegation. And I know that's going to put some schools butthurt that they're going to go from this, and it could be a power school, but look at yourselves like a Florida State where you dog shit and you might have to be relegated. I'm not against it. It's to keep up with the times, but I think you got to – I'm there, John. I'm like 60% there because we're already making changes. We might as well just go full out if we're going to make changes because I like this better than the second option I'm about to give you that was presented.
Okay, well, one, Notre Dame ain't going to never join no conference, ever. All right.
They don't have to join a conference, a division.
They ain't gonna join. They'll play whoever you say they're gonna play, but they're not joining no conference, right? And if Michigan and Ohio State ain't together in some type of way, it will never work for the Midwest. It will never work. They have to be together. I know it sounds crazy.
Speaking of our guys, Ball State would be in the Group of Eight conference, the Midwest of Ball State, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Middle Tennessee, Missouri State, Northern Illinois, Western Kentucky, and Western Michigan. That would be Ball State's, quote, division.
Okay.
I like that version. I'm not against this. I kind of like it. I think you still need to do some tweaking. The one I don't like is a report that ESPN came out with, John, of a new agreement that would allow at least 8 Big Ten and SEC schools to qualify for the college football playoff, assuming the SEC follows the Big Ten's lead and transition into a 9-game conference. Ultimately, this partnership would be the next step towards a Power 2 league. The SEC and the Big Ten already own the vast majority of TV rights and revenue share. The SEC games are broadcast on ABC and ESPN, where the Big Ten's includes Fox, CBS, and NBC, where that deal would be, hey, guess what? 8 of the 12 spots automatically go to our teams here in the Big Ten, the SEC, because we bring in the most money. I like the first version of the Super League better than this thing.
So the second one, think about a school that always is flirting with, we can get into one of these bowl games and be relevant, like a mid-major.
Oklahoma State.
Okay, if I'm a mid major or even a high major that got a little cachet, I'm telling this super conference you can kiss my wrist, man, because I'm not your lapdog. I'm not here for you to take my recruits. I'm not here for you to because hey man, Brandon, you know the truth. Can't nobody the dollars that go through Alabama is the dollars that go through Alabama. That's the reason the recruiting is the reason why they look like who they are, the number one team in America, is because they got money coming through there flowing. Ohio State the same way. Michigan the same way. So, like, at some point, yeah, man, a mid-major, you know what I'm saying, they pull together their resources and whatnot, and they have, you know what I'm saying, one or two good seasons out of five. However long they got a coach there in that time span. But, like, consistently, are they going to continue to be there, you know what I'm saying, be in winning? No. So like man, this super conference, man. If I'm a mid major team like that, or even a high major, like I don't want no parts of that. I don't want no parts of that because I'm not your lap dog. I had to build my program. I'm not trying to get fired. I'm not trying to be going to this conference with my athletic director, or my president, saying why the hell you couldn't beat, you know what I'm saying, so and so so on a Saturday. With gosh darn it, you know what I'm saying, you got me playing, you know what I'm saying, Tennessee today, and you got me playing, you know what I'm saying, Michigan tomorrow. How the hell can you the rubber meet the road when all I'm getting, you know what I'm saying, their program is bringing in, you know what I'm saying, $3 million an hour, and our program is bringing $3 million a year. Regardless of the TV money and all that bullshit, baloney, because guess what? If they gave you $40 million, they gave Michigan $40 million. They gave, you see what I'm saying? So,
right.
Like, man, that super conference is bananas. That's crazy. And if I was a mid-major or a high-major, I wouldn't play you. I'm like, all right, man, you gonna give us $1 million to come play you? For what? So that you can make
– Well, John, hold on. The Super Conference you would not be playing, you – part of that super League, John, is the Super League, you're not playing the Group of Eight schools. You're playing everybody that's in the Power 12 Conference. You get maybe one game in the Group of Eight, and then the rest are one of the 72 schools that you play in your power conference.
People will say they like it, but I don't think so, man.
The second version, where four teams would get in from the Big Ten, four get in from the SEC, that's your 8 of the 12. I think the more I think about it, we're already seeing it, right? If we look at the rankings right now, 8 of the 12 or probably 9 of the 12 are all freaking, you know, Big Ten, SEC, besides the Pac-12 getting their in, the Big 12 getting theirs in, and the ACC getting theirs in, and then the Group of Five team. That's three. Hell, the other nine are probably already from the Big Ten, the SEC. So some people have told me that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, it's already there. But personally, if we're making change, why don't we just rip the Band-Aid off and do this Power League? I'm starting to get more and more involved with it.
Well, somebody just texted me, Brandon. So am I protecting the one loss records? Like,
you're,
you know what I'm saying? A team went 12-1. But there's something about that when a team goes undefeated, though. Yes or no?
Scott K. Nichols, our sponsor, John, says NIL money makes MAC schools feeder programs to the big boys. They'll always take the money, JB.
Yeah, so. That's what's happening right now. And again, like if I'm Ball State, why am I going down there? But you're saying it's not going to happen in the second scenario. They won't play. They wouldn't even have to. They couldn't play Miami.
Correct.
They wouldn't be on their schedule. But why am I going down there? I'm going down there to get my head kicked in for $1 million.
Because you're getting NIL money. That money should be going to your program and to the players that you want to bring in there. Theoretically, that's what should happen.
Then what should happen is I'm picking on Newt. You should get better players.
At that point, if you're not, you need to get a whole new regime in there, a new coaching staff, and somebody that's going to go in there and do it, because we're getting all this money. We're playing the Tennessees. We're playing the Vanderbilts. We're playing the Miamis. We're getting all this money. Now, here's the thing. Do we really know where that money is going to? Is it going to the university? Is it just going to the athletic department? Is it going to the football? I probably have a strong inkling it's not even going to completely all to the football department. They may be only getting that 15%, and the rest is going to the athletic department to help fund these other programs as well.
Right,
because
you've got to
think they're doing some NIL.
Right.
So I think if you deep down look at it, and I'll research it myself if I can, it's probably going to the athletic department more than it is to the football players to help with there, and it gets spread out where you say, hey, we're getting $2.6 million. Let's go to NIL for our football team, and let's do this. Well, it'd be nice, but I guarantee that athletic director is going to sit there and let's divvy out some of this for women's basketball, for men's basketball. How about men's volleyball? Let's get NIL for this. By the time football gets it, they've got 10%, right? That's where the head coach needs to fight for more money. If we're going down there getting our teeth kicked in, what the hell are we doing this for? Because you're going to fire me if I have enough of these bad games.
Here's why it won't work out. None of them divisions work out for basketball at all. Not at all.
Well, this will be just football, I believe. From what I'm seeing, it's just a college. All it is a college football super league. I hate the name. They need to change the name. College Student Football League. Jesus Christ. Pay me. I'll give up. I'll bring you a good name. The CSFL, the College Student Football League. We got a caller real quick. Let's take it here. See what his thoughts are. Nas, what you think of this potential super league?
What they tell you in the Matrix, it's inevitable, Mr. Anderson. This was always what was going to happen. The idea that we were going to always have a four-team playoff and that the super conferences weren't going to take all the money off the table, I think a lot of us were kind of naive in that thinking, man. This is no different than any other industry you can think of where a monopoly is formed and that monopoly is going to dictate to everyone. I'd be surprised if the small independent schools and the smaller schools who come for, you know, the big check against big state U, I'm surprised they don't make them cut the grass before they play the game. Like, brother, this is going to be the haves and the have-nots on steroids. And to a degree, it's always been that. It's just we've covered it in so many different, you know, cloaking mechanisms, the concept of student-athlete, the concept of college athletics, all these other things that we've come up with to kind of hide the dirty underbelly of what this is. But nah, brother, this is what it's going to be. The big dogs are going to eat, and the smaller schools are going to have to figure out their own situation. I'm guessing with the NCAA, while the bigger schools are just going to tell the NCAA to go spit and form their own thing. Like, this was always in the works. And now with NIL and everything kind of above board, this is where we are.
That just kind of comes off a little historically reckless. And I get that, you know what I'm saying, the NCAA has always kind of just set pat or whatever and kind of just let things happen. I don't know, man. The dynamics of college football, like those, some of those games are still money games. Like even like your rivalry games, you put me in with my natural born rival ain't there no more. You know what I'm saying? Because like some schools have more than one rival.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
well, I think you still have some of those in your five games.
Go ahead. Even if that rival is a lesser division, you know, the people kind of look up to it. So, good luck, brother.
I'll put it to you like this: we always talk about these rivalries. We love them so much. Guess what? New rivalries will be formed. And you can also set up home and aways with some of the rivals that you feel like are important enough to do it. Just go back to when Texas told the rest of the Big 12, we're having our own TV station here, and we're taking majority of the money, and the rest of you are just going to accept it. And they did. Y'all remember that era? So, like, why are we surprised that this is what's going on? The only thing that's been stopping all of this was the idea of amateurism, which is a whole nother concept we can get to. For those who read that Taylor Branch piece years ago about the concept of student athletes and what the NCAA did in order to kind of justify these things, that's just the way it is. And I'm not saying this as like a guy who's down in it. Hey, I want to see some great conference play and great games, and we're just going to be watching semi-professional college football. And basketball, I think you can kind of create the same scenario. Basketball super conferences. Well, yeah, you lose some of the rivalries, but when it comes down to it, man, the ones who pay the bills, they're the ones who play the tune, and everybody else has to dance.
Right. Well, I mean, rivalry, there's money games that come behind that, though. That's what I'm saying. The gate. That's what I'm talking about. The media hype and all those things, man. I could never imagine a world, and it has happened, where Duke didn't play North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? So that, I mean, obviously, or Purdue didn't play Indiana, but like their gates be outrageous, you know what I'm saying? And it would come with that, but you're
describing what would be necessary for the basketball conferences, though. Those are the essential pieces. The blue bloods of the basketball world, they would be connected as well, the same way the football is doing. It's just like where he was talking about a few minutes ago, where he's talking about how they come back, these small schools come back with this big check, and then, you know, it's kind of broken up by the athletic department, and kind of the welfare sports get to spend the money. So the tennis team is flying places. The golf team is flying places. Really no way to justify that once you get beyond Title IX and the idea of equity and the money having to be spent. Once you start getting into what we're getting into now, which is professional sports, all of that stuff is going to go out the window, gentlemen. And, again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news on all this stuff, but I think we've all seen this coming, man. Like, there's going to be so much money around, and at that point, people lose all of that, you know, I guess you get all the sentiment about how this rivalry is so important, or this fan base and that fan base. Hey, man, tell your baseball team they need to take a bus and play another local baseball team. That stuff's not going to be paid for from football and basketball anymore when it comes to these bigger conferences, because they're just going to start cutting people out and enjoying a larger pie as we eventually get to a football playoff of 32 teams, bro.
Right. So you bring up a great point. The NCAA technically won't all go away because the TV people and the marketing people are currently in control. If you're trying to make football and basketball like a soccer division or whatever, great. Here's the issue I'm trying to tell you. These money games, they even if the smaller divisions, the Butlers of the world, the Marshall, who just, you know what I'm saying, who's a football school, but not necessarily a football powerhouse or football, you know what I'm saying, but like in the mid-major. Like, the corporate, like, I can't foresee it. I really can't. And I'm not saying you know what I'm saying, you're wrong in your vision. Brandon's 60% on this super conference kind of thing happening. I just can't foresee it because the more and more you pull from whatever source that you was, whatever source, whether it be the mid-majors, we pull some of those athletes over here, or TV thought that this could be a money game. And if that game don't rate a certain way, the TV people are going to be like, oh, man, how could we put that terrible game, blah, 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 blah. You see what I'm saying? So at some point, it's all, like, money is going to be out there. I get that. But I really can't see it dissolving all the way. I can't. I can't see it dissolving because you can try to sell. You can. You can try to sell me on, give me a division game brand, a Navy. That's terrible. You can try, because they do that. I was going to say Notre Dame and Navy, but they do that. They had that game already. You can try to sell me on some conference game that features, I don't know, football. I'm talking football. The conference game that features Oregon, right? And LSU. That's the big time game. But like, you can't. But that won't even be in their conference, because that'd be in a super conference. But like, you're still going to miss out. They still hurting. They are. They still hurting right now from a football standpoint. Oregon State is hurting because they don't have that full slate of Pac-12 games. Oklahoma, who's now fully encloaked into the SEC schedule, now they can't bounce back into, oh, well, we don't have an Arizona who might be ranked 17th, and we can bounce back up into national conversation. You won't have that. So unless you're saying Poland is going away, it might, where you have SuperCon, Poland might go away, and some of these talking heads might go away. It could happen, because we had less now. We used to have Mike and Mike and everybody else, you know what I'm saying, and the sports reporters and everything else, you know what I'm saying, that we have now. But, like, I really can't foresee, because you're talking that, if you're saying this is going away and that's going away, and you're talking about a whole lot of institutions, more so, I get it to the athletes, but even you get a whole lot of institutions going away that everybody's like, everybody ain't looking at. Right now, Oklahoma, dude, they was like sad after the game, because you know what, it just gets tougher for you. You done jumped into the SEC pot, right, where you just can't jump into a Baylor game, or you can't jump into a game with Colorado. You know what I mean? Now they got to play whoever else, and they now it's a tougher game. I don't know. I know I'm getting long winded. I do apologize, but I can't see it necessarily.
It sounds good on paper, but it's doubtful, because each football subdivision would have to, conference have to agree on the change. There's already existing television contracts, which are already extended somewhere in the early 2030s. So I don't know how they would get out of it, but it's intriguing.
Let's think about the importance of live sports. When you're talking about TV and you say, hey, this game didn't rate the way it was supposed to. Well, with live sports, you got to think about those as viewership floors for television stations. No matter what, even if it doesn't hit its rating, the fact that it's live TV, you can't DVR it, you can't wait on it, you have to watch the event. They're very valuable for TV networks no matter what. That's why the NBA, after all the past 2 years of people telling us the NBA was in decline, people aren't watching, and then you saw those huge deals come in, you realize, oh, live sports are more important than what we think. Just think of the whole map of the United States as TV areas, kind of like rackets. When you think of it from that standpoint, you say, okay, Oregon is in the playing these teams in the Big Ten. What does that mean? That means you get the regional viewership out there on the Northwest and that part in the Midwest. So you're just combining these things into these huge fountains of money that just keep springing up more money. We started off with 4 as a playoff. Where are we now? Eventually, we're going to get to 32. That's all I'm saying. Like, the money is pointing. And again, just think about these things as TV. So a place like University of Houston, huge market television-wise, they're going to probably get a better deal with what people are thinking and be in a better conference than what people are thinking just based on the idea of TV. Same thing for the Carolina schools and, you know, so on and so on. So, yeah, man, this is coming. There's just too much money not to do it. And, again, I feel bad for the smaller schools, But, yeah, that's going to be your amateurism. That's going to be what we used to see as, you know, student-athletes playing sports against each other, and this other stuff is going to be more professional. And as far as tradition, it's a change. When I was a kid, we had something called the Big Eight. Y'all remember that?
Yep.
How quickly did we move on to we're watching the Big 12 and you never thought about the Big Eight again? Same thing is going to happen with the East. But I know I took up too much of y'all time, man.
No, you're
but
good, Nas.
Interesting topic, but I love it, man. So.
Perfect. Appreciate it, Nas. Thanks for calling.
All right, Joe.
All right, that's our guy, Nas. John, we got our other guy on. We got to bring him on.
The fact that I'm the dirtiest player in the game. The dirty. I'm writing a book right now. The dirtiest player in the game. I will stop at nothing to stay on top. Stop at nothing. I will not move out of that big house. I will drive nothing but Mercedes or Rolls Royce. I will go nowhere on a commercial airliner. I will ride in nothing but limousines. And I will make love to nothing but the best-looking women in the world. You know why? Because I'm a winner at all costs.
He's a winner at all costs. Let's bring him on. Tanner Penrod. T, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Just watching a little playoff baseball.
Yeah, my future bet on the Orioles, one of them just went up in smoke.
Damn. Yeah, that's what. Well, yeah, you should have just put it on the Padres. That's who I think can win it all.
I've got three out there. Hey, is that Fatty Chris Christie there in the front row? Looks like it is. I've got three futures left. I had four. I've got three left. I have one on the Mets. I've got one on the Phillies, which will suck next round because they'd probably play each other. And the other one I had on was the Guardians.
I saw you saw Chris Christie over there, but gosh, damn, that chick that's sitting behind home plate got her jugs out there.
Hey, got it, man. She's got it. She's got it.
They're just out there. I know when you get ready to take a peek here in a second, you're going to see what I'm talking about.
Blue shirt. Yep.
Blue shirt right behind home.
Jonathan started on the baseball game now. gentlemen,
yeah.
College football, before we get started, Boilermakers fire Graham Harrell. I said that ain't enough. Ryan Walters still needs to be fired himself.
Is that Graham Harrell? Was I right? Was he the guy that played at Texas Tech? I swear he's the quarterback.
Yeah,
it
was.
Okay.
Yep. All right. He can go back down there for all I care. So, but yeah, Walters needs to be gone next. So we'll see. Last week, gentlemen, let's give clap it up. Another great week for everybody. I went 7-3-1. Jonathan went 8-2-2, and Tanner went 8-3-1. Tanner won his double up. Jonathan, poor Jonathan, he pushed his double up. And overall, though, Jonathan, going into the last two games of the night, Jonathan was 8-0. Jonathan had a chance for a sweep for the weekend. And the last two games, the Arizona game and the Oregon game, both failed him. So overall... I'm 31-22-2. Jonathan is 33-19-3. Tanner's 27-26-2. Now these records aren't going to add up like they should just because with the overalls and says because we have our new double ups that we are doing. So gentlemen, this week we've got 10 games on the docket. I did remove one. So we have 10 games. And at the end afterwards, you're going to give me your double up that you like that you're going to choose for this week. But before we go real quick, let's just recap, gentlemen, the main game last week that was crazy, the craziest game I've seen in a while, Alabama-Georgia. Holy cow. Talk about the tale of two halves, huh?
Man, I thought you were going to talk about Ivan Maryland.
Stop it.
No,
oh,
man.
My God. Thought you were going to talk about James Madison Ball State then, game of the week, man.
Right. No, man, that Alabama Georgia game was crazy, man. What was it? They was up. They was 30-3 at halftime.
Something like that.
Is that the halftime score? Something ridiculous, man. And then for Georgia to, you know, saying basically kind of storm all the way back, but come up short just a tad bit, kind of just reflects why me and Brandon still have them in our top five. But like, nah, man, Alabama. the new era, the new coach, you know what I'm saying? This is, you know, same results, man. You know, they ain't scared of Georgia. I liked it.
Yeah. Tanner?
Yeah. It just, I mean, Bama's still Kirby Smart's arch nemesis. He can't do it, man. He just can't. How about that 17-year-old wide receiver for Alabama? Son of a bitch, he's barely out of diapers, and he's out there making the biggest plays of ever out there. He's, I mean, he's going to be in the NFL before he's
for the Georgia
by
touchdown.
The time he's 20. He's going to be in the NFL before he's 20. So
yeah. I jumped out of bed when Georgia scored their touchdown, and then I could barely sit back down when Alabama said, you know what, we're going to come right back at you with another punch.
Yeah, he did. He hit him with
and I didn't like that pass from Carson back towards the end. I thought it was too soon to try to go to the end zone.
I thought he forced it, too. I'm like, he didn't need to chuck that. Yeah, I thought that felt forced.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was as well. Yeah. So hopefully we'll see these two teams play again. I think there's a good chance, obviously, with the college football playoff coming up. So, and even maybe the SEC championship again. Those two teams.
Georgia's got a tough road to go.
They do.
Georgia's got a tough road. Probably Bama probably got the easiest road. Texas has got some competition coming up too, so it's going to be. So that's going to be. Wait to see what happens there.
Yep. Let's dive right on in, gentlemen, to our games this week. First game on the docket. Let me make sure I didn't get a chance today. I was a little busy. I didn't get a chance to update spreads,
but
I'll look.
What game did you drop?
Shit. I forget. It was one of the bottom ones. It was like the second to last one of the bottom.
Probably the one I like the best.
Probably. I would have to go back and look real quick. Let me see.
Did you leave lane? Did you leave lane train on there? Or did you pull lane?
Let me check. I'm trying to pull up two screens at once. Lane train stays on there. And I pulled, shit. This is great radio, by the way. Quick look.
Good.
I pulled SMU and Louisville. That's who I pulled.
Damn it. I think SMU covers that. That's
yeah.
all I'm going to say. I know it's off there, but that I was listening to the thing just real quick. You can hop in there. That could be a super dog of the week. I was reading the thing. They said they might be able to beat them double digits. So I'm going to be real quick. They said if Notre Dame had a passing game, they would have been able to give it to Louisville a little bit more. But since they couldn't pass and SMU has a nice air attack, they said it's going to give Louisville a little bit of trouble.
Well, Louisville had piss poor clock management, I thought, as well at the end last week.
Damn, too.
So.
Just god awful. But first game on the docket, Purdue at Wisconsin. The line is currently Wisconsin minus 14. Jonathan.
Purdue at Wisconsin?
That's went up that much. I like the 12.5 a lot.
Do you know the halftime game for Purdue and Nebraska was 0-0? I thought my phone was wrong with my phone. a halftime score.
I know you texted me and asked, and I said, no, it's a score.
I thought it was 19-13.
Reef loved
and,
that.
And they were playing with leather helmets.
Yeah, I was loving it at
man.
The time.
Hey, man, and then, hold on. I'll get on Wisconsin, too, man. I don't want to keep on, you know, saying thinking that we hate Purdue just because they didn't give us our media credentials this year. I don't want to put that out there, Brandon. But, look, listen, man, Wisconsin had rolled up. They had put them suckers to bed at USC. But unfortunately, Luke, they didn't know that bedtime, they did you on West Coast time. And it's a three-hour time difference, man. And, they didn't score a point in the half.
Tanner was not happy.
And USC scored 30. And
that game was
man.
Bullshit.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry.
Me and Jonathan covered that one. Me and Jonathan covered with USC.
Correct.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Wisconsin was in. That should have won that. Covered that with ease. That was a bullshit game.
Perfect. So Jonathan, who you like?
Hold on, I forgot the damn game. I like
Purdue and Wisconsin. Wisconsin by 14.
No, there's no way.
Give me Badgers. Off snap call.
Wisconsin, man, rolling it. Wisconsin rolling that, man.
I've taken Purdue every time. Thinking this could be it, right? That they're going to figure out something to do something. I thought it was homecoming. They might have some life for homecoming. They got that ass handed to them by Nebraska. They almost covered. Mm. They're going up to Whiskey. They don't have a new offensive coordinator. The guy was just calling plays down here as administrator in Indianapolis.
He's a believer.
Give me Wisconsin.
Give me Wisconsin.
Now, this will be the time where Purdue will cover. So
I know it.
Western Michigan minus, let me make sure this is right. Ooh, minus nine now. Western Michigan minus nine against Ball State here in Muncie. Tanner.
I mean, all this money's coming. Is Ball State that bad? Are they going to fire Coach New middle of the year?
They covered for me last week, or they didn't cover for me, but I had last week James Madison minus 21.5. Easy.
I did too. They 63-7 Ball State. Gosh damn.
Hey, Tanner, I don't know if you heard earlier. I got an experience to walk with Coach Tomlin and Art Rooney when they arrived at our hotel on Saturday. On the elevator, Coach was asking me kind of what school I went to and everything. I said, I went to Ball State, and everything goes, ooh, didn't look too good for the Cardinals today. I said, no, it was not. They got in the boat race.
I would have said this week, I said, have you not seen the last two? Been be outscored 124-7, son. Hey, gosh. And as much as I want to take Ball State, I do this
do
week,
it.
Actually. I mean, Coach New can only get blown out so many times. I'm going to go Ball State this week. They're at home. But it could also be a last. They might. They're up. They're getting close to the Purdue where I just won't take them. Don't care how. Yeah, so they're getting there. So, but with that being said, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's public. A lot of public money coming up there that early, maybe coming out on there. So I'm gonna go against the public probably because I mean that's a lot of money. That's already changed a point and a half. I'm gonna go the other way. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, via DraftKings, Ball State's getting 39% of the bets, but 17% of the money. I'm going to take Ball State as well. 9 points at home. Mike News got to show some life in this program. I'm going to take Cardinals. John?
I think, he's playing some teams that they, I don't know, man. James Madison, I thought of him a little bit better, but, you know what I'm saying, James Madison is on a mission. You know what I'm saying, for recognition, you know what I'm saying, as they jump divisions, man. But, I ain't going to never go against the home team, man. Ball State at home, they should win that, get that out. Give me Ball State.
Next game is going to be Missouri at Texas A&M. John, we'll let you go first. The odds right now, give me 1 second to find that game again because I feel like we have a change.
I feel like Missouri's on the edge.
Two and a half. Texas A&M minus 2.5 at home. John.
Wow. No, I'm gonna go with Missouri.
Okay. I'm gonna go Missouri as well. I don't like that quarter. I took Texas A&M when they put Notre Dame, and I saw that quarterback come out and do his little prissy shit. You can't win with a guy like that behind your under center. So give me Missouri.
I'm with you on Missouri. I read a thing. It looks like the last six or seven games that A&M's had against ranked teams at home, they can't cover worth a shit. They're like 0-5 and a push, 0-5-1. Mm-hmm. They say that quarterback is the one that started the first 2 weeks, which is the better one, the better throwing. They said he's in game time decision. I think that'll make the game a little bit better for or give A&M more of a chance probably. But I think – I don't know if he's going to play or not. So I'll keep my eye on it. But if he's definitely sitting out, I think he's got – I know Missouri's schedule's been kind of soft and they haven't had to play anybody. But – I think their defensive line is a little bit better. Might get that pass rush going. give that guy a little trouble. So with that being said, give me Missouri.
Okay. Next one, Auburn at Georgia. Georgia, 24-point favorites. And this one, Tanner, we'll let you go first.
24 is probably too much. I'm going to be quick, but I've been thinking about it. I think Georgia's probably going to have some revenge on their mind. But, man, Auburn just lost two again. It would have been nice if Auburn would have won that game last week against Oklahoma in this game right here. I'm probably going to get my – that's a large favorite to take. It's probably going to come back and bite me right in the ass. But I think the Bulldogs are going to be hungry at home. They're going to want to put it on them. And with just that, I'm just going to go with the Bulldogs there. But I really don't like this game too much betting-wise. So I'm not going to bet it. So, but I'm going to take the Bulldogs, but it'll probably bite me in the ass.
Okay. Jonathan.
Yeah, Kirby Smart, after a loss, man, he'll have his team motivated, man. They're going to blow Auburn out.
Yep, I'm going to snap call, take Georgia minus the 24 as well. I think they easily beat the shit out of this Auburn team. Hey, I had Oklahoma money line and Oklahoma spread last week, so I was very invested in this game. So
that was, I think that was my, wasn't that my pick, too? I think that was my double up game. I liked it, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. So
I think it was, yeah.
Next game, gentlemen, number 23, Indiana Hoosiers, minus 13.5 at Northwestern. Jonathan.
Man, I want to call spoiler so bad and say Northwestern Wildcats. I want to, man, because, man, Coach, man, he after the game, he was like, he's saying to Google me. Like, dude, hold on, man.
Google him.
They come to Indiana for winners. And they follow me, they Google me, I win. All right, like, listen, man, I get it, man. He's built, in the short term, something very special for Indiana. They ain't been 5-0 since, like, 1987, right? I was in the seventh grade. I don't think some of the folks went on this list to the show wasn't even born in 87.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to say spoiler. I want to say, but I've talked so much crap for the Hoosiers and for them to get to this point so that they can be ranked. And then they're going to find a game where, you know what I'm saying, where the rubber meets the road. They're going to be looking at somebody that's just as strong as they are, Michigan State or Nebraska. But until then, give me the Hoosiers over Northwestern. They're going to beat Northwestern like they stole something.
Okay. Tanner.
I think if this game was played at Nebraska Northwestern or a stadium where they could hold 60,000 or 70,000, but they're playing at this little fucking high school stadium that holds about 20-some thousand over here. I know some people were trying to get tickets and they're just outrageous because the stadium's so small as theirs is under renovation. Like I said, if it was played there, give me the 14 and Northwestern all day. I really like the 12.5 better if that would have been. I think people that got on it right then was smart because I think they could win. 14 could be a push maybe, but Sig Daddy's got these guys going in the right direction. They get a bye after this week. Hopefully that'll help them get ready for Nebraska. That game will be huge if they can hold on this week. But
right,
I think IU and the over, they went forward over to the over as well. And Northwestern's only gave up 50 points combined in their last two games. So, but he always finds a way to put up points. I mean, it didn't look like he was going to do a whole lot. That's why they went over again last week. So, with that being said, until he proves me wrong, almost like the Purdue thing, until they show you wrong, I can't go against them or until I feel like the line's too inflated. Give me something else right now. Just give me the Hoosiers right now.
I'm going to take Indiana as well, minus the 13.5. I like what Sig's doing down there. Cocky as shit. So at that point, he's probably going to lose to somebody he shouldn't lose to. But we've already got people talking about Hoosiers to the college football playoff, John. And people are already getting ready for their tickets. I mean, they got a shot, but let's pump the brakes, man. One game at a time.
Right.
They're going to get humbled here pretty soon, a couple weeks.
I'll tell you what, if they can beat Nebraska and somehow go to the Big House and beat Michigan.
No, the Big House, I gave that on you.
It's in Bloomington? I thought it was
Yeah.
Okay. It's in Bloomington?
They play at Michigan State the week before.
Man.
That's a trap game.
Michigan State's a trap game, man. You can. They can beat the both. I told Brandon a couple weeks ago. Last week, I said, I think they'll be one of the Michigan teams. They won't beat both of them. I really do.
I think that Nebraska game, whatever that line is, if I get enough points out of Nebraska, that rule, I might be on Nebraska in a couple weeks.
But they didn't look great. They didn't look great against Purdue. I'll leave it at that.
No, they didn't, but we'll see. Next one, number 15, Clemson, -14.5 at Florida State. Florida State, 1-4. John.
We back. We back.
I'm okay. If he's talking about Clemson, they're hot as hell. They're putting it on TV.
We back.
Can't call that.
We back. Hey, I was teasing with Brandon. He don't own an apology yet, but I will say they did make Brandon's top 10 college football teams this week. So Clemson is on a hot streak, man. They have got better quarterback.
Surprised you saw that.
Nick. Yeah, I did. Hell, I got BYU in my 10th team. So, shoot, there you go. They love us out there.
They're hot, too.
Clubnik, they got better, you know, play out of Clubnik. Some of the recruits, the younger guys, have stepped up for sure, man. I'm going with Clemson, man. Florida State is moonwalking into wins, man. They don't look good at all.
Moonwalking the win. They got one win.
Yeah, it's just Cal. You picked them. You picked them.
It's just California. Yeah, against California.
Yeah.
DJ Uzalele in the red
zone.
They
lost last week.
They're a hot crap sandwich in the red zone. Man, it's just been not a good situation for FSU and Mike Norvell, man. He might be looking in the mirror come season's end where he seemed to exit out. But, man, I like Clemson to show that the SEC, they still the kings of the SEC. Give me Clemson.
Okay. And, Tanner, you snap called the Clemson pick, correct?
I'm going to call Clemson, yeah. Florida State's going deep. I don't even know how for that, so I just call him DJ Ukulele. He's sitting out. They're going to a backup this week. So he's not playing. And like I said, Clemson's going right. And I just think this is like a desperate – I don't know if he's hurt or if they're going to try it a different way. But I don't know. It feels kind of desperate over there for Florida State. They're going to be – so he's not playing this week. So, and like I said, if Clemson wants to make that ACC championship, they're going to have to run it out. So – what better way than just going down there to old Bobby Bowden Field and taking a dub down there away from them. So that'll be huge for Clemson.
Okay. I've been on Clemson's ass all season, even in the preseason.
Uh-oh.
I was on Dabo for the recruiting. Nobody getting the transfer portal. I was on their ass after they got that ass smoked by Georgia to start the season. Jonathan's every week is telling me I'm going to owe them an apology at some point. I kid, not yet. Dabo and them are going to, they're going to do the Dabo thing, right? They're going to come back down to earth because of what they've done and the recruiting and all this. I don't trust the quarterback play, Clubnik. They're going to finish second in the ACC. Miami's going to beat them. I've said all those things. Listen, they going to Tallahassee. They may put 60 up in Tallahassee. On Florida State. This team is deader than dead. They've been ran over. They've been dragged. They've been turned over and then re-ran over again down there.
I'm taking
Clemson minus the 14.5. I even may even bet it up to 20. And, boys, I'm kind of giving you a little extra piece here. My double up is Clemson this week. Give me Clemson.
Wow. Bubba. Testify.
And I might not be the only one I'm thinking. Next game, number 4, Tennessee, -13.5 at Arkansas. Tanner.
Man, this one's got me tore up. I've thought about this.
You want me give you a little hint?
What's your hint?
I'm taking Arkansas plus the 13.5 at home.
Damn it, you beat me to it because I think I was going to take the dog too. But my best bet of that. But I do like, I did see this. Tennessee comes out a lot in the first quarter and scores some points. The spread in the first quarter is only Tennessee -3.5 first quarter. I like that a lot. I really think if I bet this game, that's what I'm going to take.
At -3.5?
Yeah, for the first quarter.
Okay.
That's what I saw. I really like that. That's my. That means they could win that first quarter 7-3.
Taking that bet. I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That's probably my pick of the week. If I had to pick one bet, I like that. I just think Arkansas comes out a little slow normally, and all they got to be up is 7-3, and that's a dub. So I like that. They were up 24-0, 7-0, 10-3. 10-3, they were up like – they've covered every first quarter bet so far
right.
This year. I've looked at all that. So I just really like how quick they come out. But I think Arkansas, I saw what they did last week, even though they didn't win, but they covered against A&M. I just think they could cover again. Petrino's guy, I think, got them in the right spot. I think if they can slow down that, they could have a really good rushing defense. If they slow down Tennessee on the ground, I think that's going to do them wonders and to keep them in there. It might be a backdoor cover, but I don't give a damn.
Petrino ain't there.
Petrino's not in Arkansas?
No, it's Pittman. Sam Pittman.
Are you sure he's not on the offensive coordinator? Swear he's back there. Look up Bobby Petrino.
I'm looking him up now. Okay. He's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Okay. I was going to say Pittman's the head coach. But
yeah, I was like, hold on. I was like, I know Bobby Petrino's there.
Yeah, he's there. He just ain't the head guy. Yeah. We're both right. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I just like that. I just think Pig Suey gets it done late. So, I think they might give me their last second. So, I'll take the Razorbacks, too.
Okay, that's two on Arkansas. Take it with the points. John.
No, man, I'm going with the Vols. I've been on Tennessee all year as being a top 10 team. I don't think they're overlooking Arkansas in any way, shape, or form. I think because I do believe they got Alabama next. I do believe. But I think they want to continue on, you know what I'm saying, going upward. You know what I'm saying? Roll with the Vols.
Okay. Tanner, this bet's not on here if we're not picking this game, but my best bet last week completely died out, and that was Ole Miss. They lost fucking outright. So that best bet went to shit quick. My best bet this week, Tanner, I'm glad I got it early because it's already starting to go down. I took UCLA +28 at Penn State.
Okay.
I like it.
I'm glad you brought up UCLA because remember I was torn between them last week on Oregon and I knew their asses would end up covering that game. And I ended up taking Oregon. I knew they'd cover just too many points when you get these Big Ten games, just too many.
Yeah, that's why I took UCLA. I like UCLA +28. Because Franklin doesn't always cover, man. He always he fucks around with three-fourths of the game, and next thing you know, you're only up 17 late in the fourth, right? And the day should be up by 28-30. So that's where I'm thinking this game's going to go. So I'm thinking, even though that coach don't know what the hell his ass from third base, I'll steal that from Jonathan's favorite buddy, and Tanner, your buddy too. Don't know his ass from third base, but I'm going to say my favorite bet's UCLA +28. Next game, gentlemen, number 10, Michigan at Washington. Washington, 2.5-point favorites. There's a rat with this line, guys. There is a rat to take Michigan in the points, and I don't know if I'm going to eat that cheese or not. I've went
that's
back and forth all week.
That's the fish. I'm with you. That's the fishiest line of the week right there.
It's the fishiest line. It is. 100% the fishiest line. Ranked 10th Michigan at Washington, 2.5 points. Let me break it down for you with DraftKings, future sponsor of the program. 81% of the bets are on Michigan, 68% of the money. The number of bets for the handle is going up on Washington. Guys, I don't. It's a rat line. It's 100% rat line, but I'm going to go with the rat on this one. I know they have no passing game. I know Michigan sucks at passing. Orgy has no passing whatsoever.
But he's
Washington doesn't have shit.
Running back. He's like an NFL running back back there.
Yeah, so give me Michigan plus the 2.5. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I'm taking them. Tanner, you're next.
I'm with you on that, just for that. I know. I think Michigan's pass rush can probably end up getting there. Their defense is going to hold them. I'm with you. I don't know why. I feel like the line should probably be reversed right there. Probably Michigan, 2.5-point favorites instead of dogs.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw they were underdogs.
Yeah, but I'm going to say give me Michigan as well right here. I think their defense and that Orgy, he's an absolute monster. He's built like a brick shit house back there, and he's playing quarterback, and he should be playing running back. So just with that, I think their running attack will be too strong for him, and I just think they cover it late probably and win. So give me the Wolverines.
John?
Yeah. Go ahead and make a clean sweep, man.
Okay. So we're all going to take the rat cheese and probably die on our sword here on Saturday night. So next one, number 12, Ole Miss, -9.5 at South Carolina. Tanner, we'll let you go first.
All right. I know Lane Train's going to be a little pissed off coming off a loss. Right.
They didn't play anybody either. And that's what you get when you play four games with no competition, really. You schedule these Furmans and all that, and you look like you're this great offense scoring 70 fucking points, and then you go out there and lay an egg in the first game that really matters. I wasn't impressed. They got to put more talent on those schedules.
Yeah, you do. And, I mean, Kentucky team just shows you that they got some players. I mean, they had Georgia on the ropes, too. But South Carolina, are they real? Because they just beat I think they put it on Kentucky a couple weeks prior. I'm pretty sure that's a fact. I'm just going to, as I'm talking here, but I'm pretty sure they did. And then they, South Carolina had LSU beat.
Yep.
When game day was there, they had them beat. Speaking of game day, first time ever they're at Cal Berkeley. I forget who's going there, but game day's at Berkeley for the first time in history, and I forget who they're hosted.
What?
But
wow.
Yeah, Cal Berkeley. It's in Cal. Oh, Miami and Florida's going at Cal. Yeah. So, Yeah, that's what I'm saying. South Carolina played at Kentucky, and South Carolina absolutely dog-walked the shit out of them 31-6. So, with that being said, I think South Carolina, I think 9 might be too many points for your boy Reese up there. South Carolina plays well at home, got a little beater ball going there. Luckily, it's only a 3:30 start, but I like South Carolina. Give me the Cox.
I'm going to snap call you. I'm taking South Carolina plus the 9.5 as well. I would tell you to take this money line if they didn't get beat last week with Ole Miss, because I think South Carolina can win this game outright, 100%.
Yep.
If they didn't get beat last week, this would have been the week I took the money line. But I'll take the points plus 9.5, South Carolina. This would have been my best bet of the week if it wasn't for the Clemson-Florida State game. So I'm taking South Carolina as well. Sorry, Lane Train. John, sorry.
Man, Ole Miss is gonna bounce back, man. They get it together, man. They get this win on the road. Give me Ole Miss.
Okay, last game, guys. Iowa at number 3, Ohio State. Ohio State 20.5-point favorites. Ohio State really hasn't played anybody all season. This is another one like Ole Miss, but Ohio State hasn't played anybody. Myself and Jonathan both picked Ohio State to win the national championship. That was our picks when we started the season. I got the sheet here still. Tanner had Georgia over Oregon, and I had Ohio State over Georgia, and John had Ohio State over Georgia. So Ohio State, Iowa coming to town, 20.5-point favorites. John, who do you like?
I like Ohio State.
I'll snap calling. I don't know how you're doing on time. I think Iowa, when they try to go over there and play, I know they're scoring points. Hell, this might be the first time I'd ever say to take the over in an Iowa game. but they went over twice this year in their point total. I just think when they go on the road in these games, they just get blown out. I just don't think they can. They have the firepowers to stay up with them. I think Ohio State scores. They have the long play ability. They're going to get some long plays. They're going to win. Give me the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Buckeyes as well, minus 20.5. I think they get the dub for that. All right, gentlemen, I'm taking Clemson as my double up this week. Who are you guys taking for your double ups, John?
Not my team. Indiana over Northwestern.
Indiana is John's double up. Tanner.
You know what? I think mine was going to be the SMU game, but since that's not on there, I'm just trying to think. I'm between this Ohio State and Clemson game. I'll go with you, Rick. I'll hop on that Clemson game, too. Unless we just want to say no one can use the same game. If we want to do that, I'll go Ohio State.
No, we can do the same game. If you're that confident in a game, I mean, there's 10 games, but if you're that confident in that with a certain one, you have the right to choose whichever one you want.
Yep, I'm with you on that, Clemson.
So, perfect. So we got both of us on Clemson. Jonathan's going to double up on IU this week. All right, gentlemen, that's our picks. We'll follow again. I love our conversations on Saturday or text chain. Sorry, I was a little off last week. We had the Steelers staying with us, so I was preoccupied the first part of the day with that. So
I just got a couple things, Reese. I don't know if the AL has decided, but if the Yankees play at the Tigers and you're off during the week and they play on a Wednesday or Thursday, my ass is going up to Detroit Rock City.
Okay.
I don't know if they get them or the Royals.
No, they just showed they're playing the Royals.
They are.
Yep.
Well, if Detroit beats Cleveland, I'm going to Detroit.
Listen, this guy. Hey, just hey. This is we know who the manager is of the Yankees. Tanner,
yeah,
I don't know if they're gonna make it.
I know he's terrible.
All right.
So we got
cool.
The Royals. All right, that's it. We'll catch up again. I finished that Vince McMahon documentary. We'll catch up on that. I finally got that done the other night. So we can touch base with that next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, take care. Yep.
All right, that's our guy Tanner Penrod. John, last thing I have before we finish up. Pacers training camp is starting. Halliburton says he's good to go, ready for the season. Carlisle said it. I agree with it. I was going to say it. I think you would agree with it. This year, an emphasis has to be on defense.
Yeah, to kind of add to that spiciness to the you know, saying that it seems like there's going to be some minutes for James Wiseman, and they brought in Okafor. From he's been playing overseas the last couple seasons, man. So Pacers trying to further solidify their center position and basically the whole rail round of the team, man. So not to start no controversy, I know we're ending the show, man. Just in case, Miles Turner becomes available during trade time, they have insurances, backups, that all that. So like, yeah, man, basketball just right around the corner, y'all. Mm-hmm. I know I'm ready to explode on it, but it's right around the corner, though.
Yeah, I think one interesting note was Carlisle said the other morning on the morning show here in Indianapolis that the league put out a memo for all the coaches that it's going to be more of a physical season, more of a physical league this year, the equivalent to what the FIBA ball is. You're not going to have your guys go on the free throw lines 20, 25 times a night. They're going to tailor it more to the FIBA style. And I think we saw that with the Olympics when guys were like, well, that's supposed to be a call. Why isn't that not a call?
We
saw that quite a bit. So physicality is going to be higher up is what the league has told all the coaches a couple weeks ago in a memo.
Yeah, just to tag along, I know we're kind of running short for time. Big trade went down. Akarizmi Towns got traded.
I think they got worse.
I don't think they got worse, Brandon. Offensively, they're going to be
chemistry worse.
Well, it's not like
Carl Anthony Towns is not that guy. Carl Anthony Towns, I remember he got punked out when he was up in Minnesota. He got punked out. New York has an identity. Tibbs has an identity. Carl Anthony Towns ain't that identity. Tibbs doesn't fit it.
He's played for Tibbs before, though. He's played for.
Yeah,
man, I know. the Italian community, man, I know, man. They're gonna miss DiVincenzo up in New York. DiVincenzo is always that guy, a glue guy. You know what I'm saying? Wherever he's kind of been, man. But like now, Carson, I think it still makes the Knicks, you know what I'm saying, good. You know what I mean? I still got him in my top four teams in the East, and I still stand on this, and I know we ain't, you know what I'm saying, we ain't had one preseason of basketball. The East is hanging the banner again this year, and I think the top four teams in the East, can any of those top four teams in the East can win the whole thing.
Yep, we'll dive into more basketball as well. John, I just one quick note, the preseason Big Ten stuff has came out. Preseason Big Ten Player of the Year right now is Braden Smith. I was kind of shocked that he would be the Big Ten Player of the Year. Nominee, leading guy, but the rankings also came out. They've got preseason number one in their rankings for how they think they would go. Purdue Boilermakers number one. They've got Michigan at number two. Dusty May is there in Michigan now. If you recall from the off season, Indiana at number three. The Hoosiers jump up to three. Illinois at four, and then UCLA and Oregon at five and six. And then Michigan State at 7, Nebraska 8, Ohio State 9, Iowa 10, Rutgers 11, Maryland 12, USC 13, Northwestern 14, Wisconsin 15th. I thought that was a little much for them to be 15th. Minnesota 16, Washington 17, and Penn State 18th.
Wow.
In your new
I think Rutgers is going to be a little bit harder. I think Rutgers is going to be a little bit higher than that, too. Be honest with you.
I think so as well. I always like the way they play, and it's a house of horrors every time you go out there. So, John, and you close us out, my man.
No, man, I just wanted to say thanks to Nas for always chiming in, man. If I seem to argue,
great conversation.
This is great conversation, man. But just want to say thanks for him to call in. Want to say thanks to all the folks who chimed in on the Facebook Live. Our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols. How can we do Crossroads Sports without those for our sponsorship dollars and all those good things? If you're looking for insurance of any kind, man, make sure you tap on that link, ScottKNichols.com. ScottKNichols.com. I guarantee you, he'll find a good quality insurance deal for you. Outside of that, man, I want to say thanks to everybody. Tanner Penrod, you know what I'm saying? I hope, Brent, everybody has an 8-0, weekend this weekend, man. I know we came so close to have an undefeated weekend, man, but those daggone Ball State didn't come through for me this past weekend. So hopefully the Cardinals do this weekend. Outside of that, man, we'll be back bigger, better than ever next Wednesday. Brandon, I'm still behind, man. I ain't on the Vincent Man documentary like I should. I'm knee deep, if not waist deep, in this P. Diddy.
Hey, we got a skeleton coming out of the closet with some of these names soon.
Between TMZ and whoever, you name a YouTube channel, they got all kind of information on P. Diddy, man. But I'll delve into the Vince McMahon documentary as well. But like, no, man, like I said, we'll be back next week, bigger and better than ever, with even more football and basketball and baseball, as you know. And all those good things, man. Outside of that, man, I'm Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Reef. This has been Crossroads Sports, man. Thanks for listening.
No Diddy.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.